To everybody. I'd like to welcome you to this Mesa City Council study session for Tuesday, July 8th, 2008. I think everyone's here. Nobody on the phone this time. We'll start with agenda item number one, review items on the agenda for tonight's council meeting. Councilmember Summers?
As soon as you're ready.
You're waiting, okay.
I'm waiting for page two.
Oh, okay. You're waiting for page two? Okay, page three. Anyone have?
I have four questions on page three.
Page two.
Item 4C, if we have any resolution as far as the permits, or are we still not compliant with the permits for that property?
Mayor and Councilmember Summers, we have come to a resolution on the building permission issue. I got a phone call this afternoon from Terry Williams, our building safety director, and the Mesa's fire marshal, and they feel confident that this issue is resolved, and we can give our recommendation to council to have their recommendation for this license. So we could put it on the consent agenda if you'd like.
So you can put it back on consent? Let's put 4C back on consent then.
Thank you.
Unless there's any issues with that. Okay.
Different item
on page two. Councilmember Higgins.
Yeah. Mayor, the items 3A through 3D, we kind of talked about them before re-looking at our annexation policy. I know that there's a lot of annexation requests in the system right now. I just wondered if there's something we can do, like as of some date where we don't accept any new annexations until we kind of have a look at, is there something we can do that way? So we look at the policy in more depth.
I think there's a practical and there's also a legal and political, that both sides of this issue, Ms. Spinner. Why don't we talk about the legal side?
Sure. Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, possibly we could. My recommendation even legally would be that we not, because the way the state statute is contemplated, the process is they submit an application, it goes to the county, the petition comes to the city holds a public hearing which releases the petitions, but there's no action taken by the council. The state statute says that the action to be taken by the council is after the second public hearing. So the purpose of the first public hearing is to release the petition so the council can gain information from the landowners. Are they interested in annexation? Then we have a second public hearing after the petitions are released. And it's at that time that the state statute contemplates the action by the council. And it's very detailed structure of the annexation statutes. The question you would have is, should we say, as a city, we are no longer going to accept even applications for annexation? That's complicated because we have a strip annexation within the city's planning area. Those property owners within that strip annexation, they legally cannot go anywhere but the city of Mesa. To say that we're going to leave them there and we're going to basically prevent them from either applying to the city of Mesa or applying somewhere else causes some, I think, legal challenges. So our recommendation is to allow the process to take place, but we will obviously come back to council within, I think, August or September and have that discussion. That, of course, doesn't prevent the council on a case-by-case basis from looking at it, and each annexation petition that comes before you to make the decision, is it in the best interest of the city of Mesa to annex that property or not? And that's completely within your discretion.
Thank you.
Can I answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
I think that based on what we talked about it with the last study session and talking about, and staff having the guidance and the direction to go back and prepare to revisit this, and I believe we were going to throw it to the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. That's going to come up in August, September, whenever we come back. It's a little tough with the ones that are in the system to go back. I mean, it's also tough to say that we won't accept anything while we're reviewing that. But I think Vice Mayor made a comment about, I think people are on notice that we are going to look at this. I mean, I understand how they have no other place to go, but I think what we're going to be looking at is this the procedure? And is the manner in which we want to bring them in, where we have this onesie-twosie orphan lot kind of approach, or whether we want to bring them in on a more consolidated basis, which is what I believe the question was, or the dilemma that we dealt with, that the previous councils have dealt with. Is that accurate?
Right, it had to do with the provision of utility services, water, wastewater, et cetera, outside the city limits, and how much revenue we lose from state shared. So it was a pretty complicated issue, and I think Transportation Infrastructure Committee is a perfect place to review that.
Okay. And I think staff is, Mr. Brady, staff's prepared to come back and present that in the
Yes, we'll be meeting with Mr. Councilmember Fincher about scheduling that committee meeting.
All right, good. Anything else on page two? Page three? Page four? Page five? Page six? Page seven? Councilmember Richens?
Yeah, I had a question about the changing of the zoning or the council use permit for allowing additional retail uses in the M1 zoning district. One of the real efforts we're trying to make in the city is to grow quality jobs. Industrial land typically grows those quality jobs. And also this particular development was developed under industrial development standards, which have different parking requirements. And so I just had a couple of quick questions about this. If I could ask John Wesley, maybe they could clear them up. One of them was as far as parking. I know we require parking for retail differently than we require for industrial land. If this were to be zoned properly for all retail as a commercial development, would it have sufficient parking?
Mayor, Councilmember Richens, yes, we've looked at that question. Currently, the site is overparked quite a bit by about 40 spaces. If it were developed as a C2 commercial property, it would be closer, about 4 spaces overparked, but still meet the parking requirements for that a completely retail district.
Okay. The other thing, what about foundation-based landscaping? I just want to make sure that the standards that would apply to a commercial development, which is really what they're trying to be now, still apply, and that they you're not trying to develop an industrial development and then turn it into a commercial to avoid our standards, because we've asked so many of our commercial retail developers to meet a higher standard. I would just wanted to make sure this fell in with this. Is landscaping within those standards as well?
Yes.
Okay. If that's the case, having looked at some of the other issues at the case, I'm okay with this going back on consent.
Any other council members have a problem with that? All right, 6D, 6 Delta goes back on consent. Anything else on page 7? Page 8? Page 9? Page 10? Ms. Spinner?
Thank you. Mayor, on 7Q, which is the pre-annexation development agreement for the City of Mason, Empire Southwest, on page 4 of your agreement where we're talking about improvements to Iron Avenue, there was a blank there. We were still discussing that issue in terms of what amount of time would it take for Empire Southwest to complete the improvements on Iron Avenue. They have agreed to complete the improvements within 365 days. So when you consider this agreement tonight, if it's adopted, we will amend that and include the 365.
Okay. I had a question. Are these both 7P and 7Q? Are these both two-thirds votes, or is one a two-third and one a majority?
They are both.
Both.
They're both two-thirds vote by statute, and they're both required to be off consent by statute.
Okay. I just, for some reason, I was thinking one was a majority, but they're both two-thirds. Okay. Councilmember Higgins, you had a question?
I have a question on 7R. I think it's a neighborhood services question. It's just regarding, like, general policy on alley vacating processes where we help a neighborhood get together and close off their alley and they get money together and put fences. That's kind of what we're doing in 7R. So my question, as a general statement, do we like help the neighborhood that's doing that understand the long-term ramifications of owning that section, maintenance on the fence, you know, gates, locks, all that type of stuff? Because these typically aren't in HOA type areas. So, you know, do we assist them up front so they realize, and do we help them with, like, learning what kind of mechanism to collect fees from their neighbors without the HOA?
Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, that's correct. I'm going to let Susan follow up on that, because in real estate services, we just process the abandonment. Where neighborhood services, they contact and work with the property owners.
Thank you, Mayor, Councilmember Higgins. I worked with Bob Bratton on this. He was actually a burglary, got hit with the burglary around Christmas and contacted me in our office as far as gating that alley. We work with them as far as knowing, yes, that the once the alley is vacated, it becomes private property, and then they are responsible for, one, the installation of the gates as well as the maintenance of the gates, the signage, and for contacting the utility companies for the locks on the gates. In other words, if in this case, Cox Communication and SRP are easements or utility easements in there, that they contact those utilities to get locks from the utilities, and then they're set up like a link so anyone can break the chain and access the alleys. We give each individual, I give them to Bob, he gives each individual a certification of the alley abandonment once it's gone through and been recorded in the city clerk's office. At that time, they generally try to collect fees as far as for the installation of the gates.
I just wondered if, you know, this is somewhat a new policy last few years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, has there been history of, you know, there needing to be repairs to the gates, and then the community, because they don't have an HOA, are strapped for funds, and, you know, we don't know that yet, right? So I just wanted to know if, you know, we educate that community that's doing that to the long-term costs that are involved.
When we came to council with the alley abandonment proposal and the gating proposal, we looked at the alleys that had been abandoned 10 years prior, and we went and took photos of those gates and stuff and tried to talk to the residents as far as the history, the success of gating the alleys, and we hadn't heard in any of that of any problems. We do have some areas where not every resident can split the difference as far as for the cost of the installation. In other words, if there's 20 homes, sometimes you try to get each individual to put in the exact amount. We've got a couple alleys where, you know, maybe five residents wanted the gates, and they said, you know, we're going to put the gates up. We will pay for the installation, pay for the gates. If anyone else can contribute, that's fine. But if you're in a situation where you can't contribute, you know, we still would like to move forward as long as we have your permission. We do need 100% in order of the signatures in order to move forward with the abandonment. So everyone is on board.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anything else on page 10? Page 11.
Mayor, if I may,
yes, Mr. Westlake.
On item 8A, just wanted to point out that compared to previous report at time of introduction, there has been a slight wording change in the report that accompanies this to put in that the fire hydrant is actually across the street rather than 700 feet away. So just wanted to clarify that there is a revised report with that one.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Nothing else. We'll move to agenda item 2. Hear an update and discuss the 2008 Arizona legislative session. Excuse me. Mr. Butler, Mr. Stoddard.
Mayor, good afternoon. Always come bearing good news after the legislature adjourns, so I won't break tradition again this year. Brent and I are going to quickly run through.
So you're going to tell us how much it cost us this year, huh?
Absolutely.
Okay,
that's right, Mayor.
Great.
We'll quickly run through a PowerPoint. Feel free to ask any questions. We did, though, want to come before you today because there's been some questions internally in the newspaper about some of the impacts of the state budget on what the city had placed in our recently adopted budget. So we wanted to go through that. We'll have a comprehensive legislative report coming out to you in the coming weeks that will talk about the myriad of bills that have been considered that made it through the process or that died. So this is really just to whet your appetite for what's to come, but we wanted to really address some of these budget issues head on. The legislature did adjourn on Friday, June 27th. It was 166 very long days of session, the fourth longest session in Arizona history. The bills that were passed this year have a general effective date of September 26th, so we'll be looking at that date for some of the implementation of this. Moving right in, though, to the budget discussion, one good news, I guess, if we can start out on that, but it's almost like a roller coaster. We'll start with some good, go to some bad, and hopefully end on a high note on this. There were no direct cuts to state shared revenue. That's obviously one of our top priorities every year, to make sure that state shared revenue isn't raided. They did not dip into the actual state shared revenue fund. Cities received the full amount that had been pre-budgeted for us to receive this fiscal year, and we also received a reimbursement for shared revenue that they diverted from shared revenue back in FY04. So that was put in place as well. And just for a point of reference, at the bottom of that page, we did give the numbers for shared revenue that the city receives in state income tax, state sales tax, and what we refer to as LTAP-1 that goes towards local transportation assistance. But here's the big but in the discussion. They did, even though they did not actually touch the shared revenue fund, they did put in some interesting creative language into the budget that I've given you an excerpt of that on the page under budget contribution, that cities and towns and counties are responsible for giving a contribution to the state equal to nearly $30 million. The city of Mesa, based on the formula that they set forth in the legislation, would be responsible for $1.7 million reimbursement to the state. So even though they didn't directly take from state shared revenue, they did ask the cities to contribute a portion of the revenue that they did receive, and our total comes up to $1.7 million, which is obviously a number not to bat an eye at. The reason behind this, we believe, is because state shared revenue is protected by Proposition 108, which the Legislative Council of the state legislature has ruled would require a two-thirds vote at the state legislature to divert money away from state shared revenue. So they actually did not divert money from state shared revenue. They gave us all of our money, but yet asked us for a refund of a portion of that money. Unfortunately, the only discretionary revenue source that we have is the general fund, and so that $1.7 million, if it were to stand, would have to come from our general fund. There are several legal questions surrounding this, both their efforts to work around Proposition 108 and also the protections that we have as charter cities under the Arizona Constitution that grants us certain rights and privileges as a political subdivision of the state. And there's some questions about their ability to direct our general fund spending. So those are some issues that our legal staff and others at the League of Arizona Cities and Towns are going to be taking a look at. And so this isn't probably the end of this discussion. A few subaccounts also impacted in the budget that will have an impact on us. The first is the HERF account, the Highway User Revenue Fund. Primarily, transportation uses that for our street projects, our overlays, and other maintenance efforts that we see. Transportation's here to answer any questions about that. What they diverted $85 million from the general fund to fund the Department of Public Safety. So that $85 million otherwise would have gone to cities and towns, but it will now pay for the operations of the Department of Public Safety. To Mesa, that results in a $2.6 million hit to how our initial estimates had been. And I have to credit our budget staff that they saw that HERF overall had been declining in revenue because of slower gas sales with gas at $4 a gallon. So our staff had already cut our estimate by $500,000. So the practical impact on the city of Mesa will be $2.1 million below the adopted budget, but it's actually 2.6 below what the State Department of Revenue had estimated at the beginning of the year that the city would be receiving.
And those are street maintenance allocated funds. So yes. Those are dedicated funds because they come
That's correct. And right, they have to stay within that usage. The next sub-account, also in transportation, was the Local Transportation Assistance Fund 2 account, LTAF 2, which goes to mass transit. The entire fund was swept and put and diverted to the state general fund. That Mesa had expected around $632,000 to come to the city through that account this year. I believe transportation, Mike James is going to pass out a memo. LTAF, too, became an issue to us earlier in the year because some of our transit routes were dependent on funding coming from LTAF, too. And I believe this presents the scenario that the previous council had adopted to deal with any funding allocations that may not come to LTAF, too.
And you want to summarize those scenarios for us?
Sure. In fact, let me have Mike James come up for that.
Why don't we get to that right now since we're on it?
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor and Councilor. On May 15th, the Mesa Council directed staff to go forward with a two-tier approach. The first tier being if the LTAF 2 money was available to go ahead and fund.
Two-tiered approach to?
To dealing with whether or not we had LTAF 2 funding or not.
Two-tiered approach to spending or allocating those funds or using those funds.
Correct.
Okay.
The first tier was if the money was available, we would fund the Route 136 Gilbert Road route. The second tier is if the money was swept, as we somewhat expected, that we would eliminate the weekday and Saturday bus service on Gilbert Road, Route 136. With that being the case, we need to move forward with the public process to hold a meeting, summarize those comments, and then have a 30-day wait period to give RPTA to implement those changes. So,
if you could, I mean, since most of us weren't here when this decision was made, could you explain why Route 136 down Gilbert Road was the one that was targeted for this action?
Yes, sir. The reason we looked at Route 136 is it's the only route funded by the city of Mesa that's not impacted by Title VI, the rules for environmental justice. It doesn't.
Hey, we need to speak English for our
audience.
I'm
going to break that down a little bit more for you.
Title VI is a federal law.
Federal law, okay. For environmental justice that says you cannot disproportionately affect a minority senior population by eliminating a bus route in this case. So the Route 136 Gilbert Road does not qualify under Title VI. All of our other local routes do. So that's really the only route that we can make changes to in such a way.
And Mayor, if I can just step in. Mike, I guess we got to be careful, too, that this wasn't the only impact to the transit budget. This is the one that was left contingent upon, you know, the possibility that this money, these funds wouldn't be swept. But by the time we got to May, we knew it was on the table, it was being considered. So frankly, it was more of, we had already made the decision to cut the route. It was just the hope that if the funds didn't get swept, then we would continue to maintain it. But just quickly, other cuts that we made in transit included the elimination of, on the Saturday service, we
reduced frequency.
Reduced frequency there. And what other, was there any other modifications or?
Yeah, there was a couple other.
There's a whole series.
$1 million,
yeah, there's.
Right?
I just want to get a sense. This is not. It wasn't just isolated. That we went through several other changes or adjustments in the transit budget before we even got to this particular one.
And in essence, what we're saying is that as part of that, we made a decision not knowing exactly whether these funds would be swept at the state level, but anticipating that that was not only a possibility, but by that time a probability. We built in a contingent and said, listen, in a sense, rather than we're going to cut it if they're not there, the idea was we're going to cut it, and if they happen to surprise us and leave them in there,
correct.
Then we will leave it alone.
That's correct.
And so that was the decision made as part of that last year's or the process for this coming year's budget that was made back in May based on the information they had.
That's correct.
And what we're saying is that we're just finalizing that scenario, which is playing,
right.
Which is now played out.
The budget doesn't need to be adjusted. It's just that the requirement, as we eliminate a route, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, is we do have to go through a notification process to now conclude the elimination of that route. Now, what's interesting, though, Mayor and Council, is that maybe, you know, next year, because of the timing of the way the regional funds come, they can support transit, this route, would this route then be taken over by with funding from regional dollars?
Yes, that's correct. In July of next year, this route will be funded by the Prop 400 funding.
And there are other routes? What other routes would be included? Are there other routes that also be funded then, too, or is this?
Yes, Power Road next year would be funded as well.
Okay, Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you. To that point, as an alternative to the public process to eliminate the route, it seems to me that one of the other directions the council could look at is the use of contingency funds in our budget to maintain this route for this year. Contingency funds are typically used for one-time unanticipated problems that are not an ongoing expense to the city. And at least certainly this seems to fit the criteria for that, in that Prop 400 will be picking up the funding for this route. And I'm just thinking that this is a key route to an important business area, important connection to the community or the town of Gilbert, and that when we do eliminate routes, oftentimes it's difficult to reestablish ridership on it. So it's just, and, you know, in lieu of at least one of the directives in the staff memo, I would think this might be an opportunity for us to consider that as an option too.
Mr. Brady?
Yeah, Mayor and Council, I think one, it's difficult to make these kind of decisions in an isolated way. Two things. One, I think we'll be careful we're getting off the topic of the agenda. So if it is something Council wants to discuss, we could probably bring this back in a different setting. But I would just suggest to the Council, I think we understand that there are a lot of issues out there. We just saw that there's $2.1 million coming out of our street maintenance budget. There's another $1.7 million coming out of our general fund. So how we handle that sometimes is difficult in the light of so many other things happening with our budget, the economy and how other things are going to happen. If the council would like, we could certainly bring this to a committee discussion. Our concern, though, is the timing, that we have to put the notifications out by the end of July. Am I reading that correct? Just as a requirement. So it'd have to be a decision of a council.
Well, I guess
quickly.
The question is that, like you said, I mean, can we make that kind of a decision? It's not on the agenda.
It's not today. We can't make that.
Can't
decision.
Make that decision
we,
today.
We really shouldn't. We probably should come back in August. But the question, I guess, the point is, we're going down that path today.
Yeah, the timing.
There's
we
really
have.
No decision. We're not even asking. The decision in our mind has been made, and we're just letting council know that the notification is being sent out.
Okay, Councilmember Summers, you have a comment?
No, that's.
And so, I mean, realistically,
yeah,
we
I guess
can't
the,
take
the
action.
Difficulty well, we'd have
in,
to.
In a sense, we have taken action because we approved the budget that included this decision.
Correct.
You know, whether we realize that or not, that's what took place. It's going to be implemented with the public hearing as of July 29th or whatever the date was. And the timing is, according to the memo, is for a July 31st announcement, which is a 30-day, which means that as the 1st of September, the bus route would be eliminated, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Councilmember Kavanaugh?
Yeah. Mayor, with all due respect, I think, though, the council does have the authority and the ability to take this decision in a different direction if it so chooses, if it makes it a priority. I know the public process is put in place by the budget directives that we had before. I think the way this item was agendized, we can certainly discuss the ramifications of budget issues and potential future actions. And so that's where I'm just suggesting that we review this for the future.
Mayor, Councilmember Kavanaugh, I'm concerned because what the agenda language is hear an update and discuss the 2008 Arizona legislative session. It is not whether we are going to continue to eliminate bus routes based on the decisions of the Arizona legislative session. I think we would need broader language. We are simply here today to hear what is the final result of the Arizona legislative session, not to discuss again the bus routes. You can bring it back, and I guess I haven't talked to Mike James about, you know, does this come back to council before it's cut off, or is there a possibility to? But if you would like to discuss that issue, it should be placed on in the agenda at a next council meeting.
Well, and it would have to be a special council meeting during the council break, based on the notices and the direction we're already under within the budget. We, this council, I guess through the mayor or myself, would have to call the council back to a special study session and have a discussion in July, and then have this, you know, ultimately have a special council meeting, I guess, on this topic, if that's where we want to go. Because frankly, at this point, the way our schedule is, tonight is the last meeting until August. And by that point, the notices will be out, the meetings will be held. So that's kind of, it's been part of the budget process. I know that's an inconvenient for council that didn't have that discussion in May, but that's kind of where we're at. Otherwise, we would have to, again, start and have new meetings again for the next, over the next couple of weeks.
Well, and the other issue, as you mentioned it, we're only on page 4 of the bad news, and we got 3 more pages to go. So maybe we need to put it in context. Maybe when we get to the end of it, let's revisit and come back and see what we, how we want to proceed. Councilmember Summers?
Mayor, on this issue, and I'll be brief, is that the process is already in place. The notification will go out, and without making comment on how I feel about the recommendation, I think that becomes part of the public discourse and discussions when we return before a final decision is made. So.
Okay, let's go on with the report, and we'll come back as we put this into context and see how everything else plays out.
Such cheery subject matter, Mayor. State Aviation Fund. Unfortunately, all $36 million in the fund was swept to help balance the state budget. We're trying to assess the impacts right now on Falcon Field and Gateway. We have heard from Gateway already that some of the reimbursements that they were expecting for projects already underway could be jeopardized by this. We're also under the belief now that any grants that they had been anticipating in FY09 are now going away. And the unfortunate part is we usually use that to leverage federal funds. We take 2.5% of local dollars, 2.5% of state dollars to leverage 95% of FAA dollars. And so this could really jeopardize some projects in the works at Gateway and potentially at Falcon Field over the course of the next year.
And that state aviation, that's the share of the gas tax, the avgas tax.
Correct. It's several. It's aviation fuel tax. It's other fees and other assessments fees that are all aviation related.
Okay. I'm sure the pilots are happy about that.
Sure.
And Mayor and Council, there's two other items that weren't part of the budget, but we did want to bring them to your attention. They were laws that were enacted that do have a significant financial impact to the city of Mesa. The first is a DUI bill. The legislature did pass a bill that prohibited judges from suspending all but 10 days of a person's sentence for a first-time extreme DUI. So before this law, judges have the discretion to go in and say, you know, you have 30 days to serve, but I'm going to suspend all of them. You're only going to serve 10. That has now been taken away. So essentially mandates that a first-time extreme DUI serve the full 30 days. Our courts estimate that will have a $1.9 million impact, essentially going from 10 days to 30. You're tripling the amount of time that someone is going to serve in the jail, and we bear the cost of that. And one of the other concerns about this law is that with those increased costs of having to serve more days, it potentially will have a negative impact on our ability to recover that money, because the fees are obviously higher for the people that are they're paying them. Nevertheless, we have to bear them. So the court and the budget folks are preparing to take a very close look and monitor this very closely over the next year so that we can get a gauge of just how big of an impact is going to be, so we can budget appropriately over the next several years, all the years in the future when we have to deal with this issue. The second bill, and we brought this forward to the council during the legislative session. There was a bill that prohibited cities from collecting transaction privilege tax on people that had been given an exemption from that tax that are buying automobiles or recreational vehicles, RVs, and it also prohibited the cities from going back and collecting the revenue from the dealerships if it is identified that an individual that was given an exemption from the sales tax is later to have been found ineligible for that exemption. This new state law prohibits us from going back and getting that money, and in addition to that, had a retroactive clause to August of 2004, which essentially stopped us from moving forward with any of the current audits we had on the automobile dealers who had been giving these exemptions to people who had been claiming a non-resident out-of-state exemption. The estimated impact from our budget folks is anywhere from $800 to $1.2 million. So we wanted to bring that to your attention.
That impact, how was that determined? Is that based on audits that are in process? That is that based on what they estimate is the potential for non-compliance out there? Or is that based on amounts that we've identified that we either are not going to be able to collect or perhaps even need to rebate or whatever?
Mayor, the $800 to $1.2 million was the budget department's estimate of the audits that we currently have in the rotation to be done, probably, what they say, in the next, going back, starting from 2004 into and to
so
2004.
So has that money been included as potential revenue in the budget and it's being taken out, or is that just revenue that was hoped for, was not budgeted, and now will not appear?
Chuck Odom's not here today, but from what I understand, it wasn't actually budgeted as revenue coming into the city. However, it was anticipated revenues coming in from the audits that we would be concluding.
Right, so it's an anticipated revenue, but it wasn't budgeted revenue.
Correct.
The difference being it wasn't written down on paper. It was hanging out here as we might get it. So the real impact is not potentially the same as the $2 million in jail costs, which we're going to have to cut a check for.
Correct.
Okay.
All right.
Gotcha.
Mayor, we did want to end on somewhat of a high note by pointing out a few good things, though. The first item was contained in the budget. As you know, the governor and Department of Public Safety have advocated for a statewide freeway photo enforcement program that was implemented within the budget process. There had been some discussion all along about whether these tickets would have to be processed by municipal courts, which, as you can imagine, as the city of Scottsdale has seen, can be a tremendous burden. We were relieved to see when the budget came out that justice courts were provide adequate funding to cover those costs, so our municipal courts will not have to shoulder that burden if photo enforcement were to be put on the US 60 or the 202 or any of the other freeways. Gateway Freeway, we ran legislation this year that would allow us to use $20 million in the state transportation acceleration needs account, to pay for interest costs that would make it affordable, potentially affordable for the city to accelerate construction of the freeway. We're happy to report that did pass and was signed yesterday by the governor. In doing that, it also created additional bonding capacity that the city would need to finance the freeway acceleration. So we're going to be working over the next several months with ADOT and with MAG and hopefully bring back to council in the coming months an agreement that will allow us to accelerate the Gateway Freeway. So we're excited about that. And then another point that several council members had been watching closely had been a bill that would allow some leeway for the former Mesa General Hospital location to have some additional time to seek accreditation through the State Department of Health Services. That was signed into law by the governor, giving a group, any group, 90 additional days to seek accreditation for that hospital site. And I know there's been some groups out in the community that have been looking at that, and this will allow that to happen. So with that, Mayor, we'll turn it over to any other questions and comments. And again, we'll have a comprehensive report over all of the legislation that passed and failed coming out to council in the coming weeks.
Thank you very much. All right. Councilmember Higgins.
I just had a question before you guys leave. In your staff memo, Mike, where it says City Mesa will be responsible for the AM and PM route extensions that serve Falcon Field and the Boeing facility. What does that mean?
Currently, the Route 136 runs two morning and two PM extensions over from Gilbert Road up to serve the Falcon Field Boeing area. When the region Prop 400 picks up funding for those routes, they just funded a straight line route on Gilbert Road. So in the future, we would still like to keep those AM and PM commute connections to Falcon Field. That would be on our dime, so to speak. So that's what that means.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor?
Yes?
If I might go back just to the regular council agenda tonight, I believe real estate department dropped off for you a new 7F, and this is currently on the consent agenda. It has a new Exhibit A. I just want to point that out.
Oh, okay.
So the 7F information that's in your backup material is not the one that you will be voting on tonight. It is this new revised 7F.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
And on the issue as far as the bus route and everything, let's talk. Let's get some additional idea and direction, because there's a lot of different budget things that we can't act on now, and we'll just have to figure out how we'll sort that out. Yeah, Council Member.
Just real quickly, Richard, on that point, could we still go forward with all the notification processes? It's shooting towards September 1st. Can we still go through the proposed notification process and still come back and change our mind in August?
We really will need to discuss that later. We'll take a look at the statutes and the process, but we really can't.
Should I ask that under future meetings?
I can discuss that with you privately.
Let me just say, we right now, based on the last council direction as a body, we will be going forward with the notices on Tuesday. I just want council to be knowing that on the 29th.
Yeah.
Unless we, for whatever reason, have
we have a lot of loose ends here that I'm a little reluctant, not only for agenda and legal reasons, but I don't know that I want to be jumping. It's a pretty big jump to get into some of these things right now without additional information and without knowing exactly where we stand in the process and the legal issues involved in the process, and also the budgetary issues. Once again, we've gone through the budgetary process and we're sort of set with what we approved, and there is a formal procedure that I believe we need to follow if we're going to change that. And I don't believe that doing it on the go is really the wise way to do it. And we can't do it anyway, but I really don't want to get into that way of doing it either. So why don't we talk? Let's sort that out, the legalese. Mr. Brady, if you could find out, we'll get together afterwards and figure out how we're going to go for it. It's scheduled to go through with the hearings at the end of this month. Our next, I believe, scheduled meeting is August 12th.
14th,
I'm sorry, August 14th. And so we'll go forward with that. Okay, next item. Hear reports on meetings and our conference. Oh, skip it. Okay, yeah, we got to get up to the council meeting. Mr. Brady, you have anything on the scheduled meetings that you want to go
again
over?
This is our last meeting until August 14th, which I believe is a Thursday. So that'll be the next study. That'll be the first study session after the break.
Okay.
Move for adjournment.
Second. Move second. Any opposed? Okay, we're adjourned.
Upstairs.
Upstairs.